Well, good morning. And we want to welcome our online campus. It's great having you with us this morning. I'm walking up. I got a water bottle. I've got the phone that has a little gadget on the back that I'm working with, and carrying my MacBook and all these things. And I was thinking about a reel that I saw recently. And so there's this. They start with a husband that comes in, and it says, "When a man gets ready to leave to work." So the man comes in, and he has a water bottle, and he puts it in the middle of council and starts the car, and he takes off. And it said, "When a woman gets ready to leave for work." Don't get mad at me. This is what I saw. She had three water bottles. Two of them were thermoses, you know, a Yeti. And then she had a carry case, like a purse. And then another side, she had another purse. I don't even know what to call them because, you know, ladies, my wife has like two or three that she carries with her, right? And so she comes in and she puts her Yeti, her thermos. What are they called now? They're not thermoses, right? Stanley's, yes, exactly, Stanley's. And then she's got a water bottle, and then she has one carry-on. It's like going on a flight. Another carry-on purse. That's what I felt like coming up here with all these gadgets. So just kind of help me out, because I've been known to be long-winded, and I'm going to be praying for the Guatemala short-term mission team that are leaving on Thursday. And so 10 minutes before the sermon is, before the hour, before the service ends, they're going to come up and I'm going to pray with them. So keep me on track so that I will not forget about that. So we've been going through this series, Seven Pillars of Success. And last week we talked about the sixth pillar, which is fear. And how do we overcome fear that we have in our lives? And as I mentioned last week, every one of us has a fear. Say amen if you agree with that. We all struggle with different things. And you have to remember that fears come from the outside. So there are things that are actually around us that will cause us to be fearful. For example, if you live in Tornado Alley, right, maybe Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, there is a possibility that a tornado is going to hit. And when them tornado sirens go off, it's okay to be fearful that you're not in harm's way. Amen? So there is a rational fear. Another example, anybody in here, have you ever been in war? You've actually been in a war zone. Just raise your hand if you've been in war. I know many of you have. And when you're in a battle and there's fire taking place, there's enemy fire coming in, how many of you that were in that battle had a little bit of fear? Yeah. And it's okay to have that kind of fear. But what do we have to do when we have those fears that come upon us? We have to take courage, right? So rational fear, we have to take courage, and we can take courage in the Lord, and we can overcome those fears. So my prayer is that last week when we completed the sermon, there was a challenge that was placed for everyone here. And if you were not here, or if you're watching online and you did not hear that sermon, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to that. But there was a challenge that we have to face our fear. You have to identify the fear, right? And then you've got to invite Jesus or God into that fear and trust in the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord with everything, because he's with us and he will never leave us or forsake us. And then we need to remember or meditate on Scripture and let that become who we are. And so that fear doesn't dictate our lives, God's word does. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? So you're not losing your mind. You've got a sound mind in Christ. So that was last week. Now, So fear is very real. But if fear was a triplet, who would be its siblings? Who would be its brothers or sisters? Wouldn't it be worry and anxiety? Two of the same, but different. Same family, but different. And there's a lot that the Bible says, especially Jesus' words about worry. And there's a lot that the Bible says about being anxious. And maybe I'm talking to someone today that you have panic attacks. You have anxiety at its greatest level. And you struggle with these panic attacks. And when they first came upon you, you don't even know where they came from. But you knew that you did not want any part of it. And it plagued you, and maybe even to this day, maybe some of you in here, you still get these panic attacks. Or maybe there's someone in here that you worry constantly. You're always worried about what people are thinking about you. You're always worried about the details of life, and usually worry does come with details. It comes with you having to micromanage your life. And if things don't go the way that you think they should go, I mean, it just really does something to you. And so I want for us to tackle these, because fear, rational fear, there's irrational fear, but rational fear is the immediate danger that we're in. And when you're in that danger, what the Bible teaches us to have success is that you got to trust in God. And I've gone through enough battles in my life. I'm not talking about a war zone. I'm just talking about battles that I faced in life to know that I can trust God. Has anyone in here, when you're in a battle, have you ever prayed? Don't we usually pray when we're going through the most difficult, you know, Leonard and Barbara, you know, they've gone through a horrible battle. They lost their house. Their house was burned down. Did that cause them to pray? I am pretty sure they said a couple prayers. And so what you find out in your times of difficulty is that God is bigger than what we're facing. Even though it doesn't seem like it when you're in the moment. Anxiety or worry is in the mind. Like you're anxious about something that has not even happened. I talked a little bit about my anxiety when I came to Christ. That's what brought me to Jesus, was I was very anxious, and I didn't know how to overcome it. And so I began to seek God the way that my tradition, my upbringing, I began to seek God, and God led me on a journey where I found Jesus in a relationship way. And I began to find that anxiety is you have to fix your thoughts. You got to fix the way that you think. Like, instead of thinking this could happen, you're rational about it, and you say it hasn't happened. So why am I worried or anxious about it? Amen. And so rational fear is the courage to push through with faith in God, with some things that are really happening in your life. Anxiety and overcoming anxiety is fixing the way that you think. Letting the Word of God be your centerpiece is key to both of them. But how many of you know that you cannot be truly successful if you live in fear? I'm talking live. I'm not saying that you don't go through it. I'm talking live. You live in fear. You live in worry, or you live in anxiety. How many of you know you can't be truly successful? You can't. But God gives us a remedy. There's a place in the gospel where there's two sisters, and one's name was Martha, the other one's name was Mary. And we can learn a lot from that. That's going to be part of the scripture passages that I'm going to be using today. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 40 and through 42. It says, Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. I think that's an important word, distracted. Distracted. Because there was someone in her presence that she should have been keen on. She should have had her eyes on. Who was the person that was in her presence? Jesus. But she was distracted, the Bible says, by the big dinner that she was preparing. So the dinner was bigger than Jesus, the way that I look at it. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" Now, that's important as well, because her distraction also was with her sister. It was in the details of all that she was doing, but it was also in her sister, right? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. And there is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. In other words, he's saying to Martha, you are filled with the many details of life, and it's causing you to be filled with worry, and it's also causing you to be upset. And how many of you, when you worry a lot, does it change your mood? Let's think about success. You can't be successful if you're angry. And worry causes that to happen. But what happens is that you're missing the one most important thing, and the one most important thing in everything that we go through, in everything, the most important thing that we should prioritize is Jesus. So I want you to just maybe mentally, maybe physically, look at your planner, how you plan out your week. Look at your schedule. How many of you have sticky notes on your desk or on your, yeah? Maybe some of you don't have a schedule. You just live spontaneous, right? But how many of you know that spontaneity can cause problems as well? You might not think you have a problem, but everyone around you does. Because you're never on time. You don't get the things done that you're supposed to get done. So either way, you're filled with spontaneity, you're filled with a schedule, or whatever, and however you live your life, you're filled with something. You're filled with something. And I think it's important for us to fill ourselves with what matters. Jesus told Martha, he said, you're filled with worry. You're filled with worry. Now this year at Living Word Chapel, what's been our theme? Hopefully somebody knows. What's been our theme? We've talked about it in the series. The women went on a retreat. That was their centerpiece, joy. The men are going to have a retreat coming up, and I'm hoping we've had a lot of men sign up. If you haven't signed up, please get signed up. It'll be beneficial for you, for your life, and for your family. But the theme has been joy. Does worry and joy coexist? No. When you're worried, you're not filled with joy. When you're anxious, there's nothing joyful about being anxious. There is nothing joyful about a panic attack. You think you're losing your mind. You think there's no hope. If you've really had a panic attack in here, and believe me, I've had one before, you think there's no escaping it. But there is joy that's found in God. So Martha helps me to understand that she was missing the joy that God would provide, even in her preparation. Because how many of you know that some people actually find joy in preparing a meal for people to be a blessing? And I believe that those people that find joy in preparing a meal or find joy in serving in some capacity, the reason that they find joy in the work is because they're doing it for someone who's greater, and that's Jesus. So how do we find joy in everything? Let's go to the scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he's writing from prison. So that helps us. It helps me to understand that my circumstances do not dictate my joy. The person that I worship will fill me with joy no matter what my circumstances are. Paul says this, chapter 4, verse 4, always be full of joy. What kind of joy? In the Lord. Not in your circumstance. Notice he doesn't say that. Doesn't say not in the person, not in the relationship you're with. Relationships can become problematic. Say amen if you agree with that. It's never your fault. It's always their fault, right? Circumstances can become problematic. Even good circumstances can become. Have you ever been on vacation and things go wrong? You go on vacation, you take your luggage, and they lose your luggage. And your vacation just became a disaster. So joy is not found in our circumstances. It's not found in our relationship. It's not found in our work. It's found in the Lord. And then he says it because he said it once, but how many of you know that you need to hear things twice? Look what he says. I say it again. Rejoice. Rejoy. You've had joy, well, redo it. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. So it's that mentality that Jesus could come back today. And Paul is saying, you don't want Jesus to come back to you and you're grumpy or upset or not forgiving or hostile. And then he says this. Now look at this letter was not written with paragraphs and or chapters and then verses. It was written in thoughts. The Apostle Paul is writing as the Holy Spirit directs. So all of this is in its context. Rejoice in the Lord, right? He's saying, experience God's joy. Always be full of joy. And then he gets to verse 6, and he says, don't worry about anything. How many of you are looking at this and you're hearing this and you're saying, what are you talking about? Anything? Let me ask a question. How many of you worried about one thing this week? Raise your hand. How about two? How about three? Yeah, that's just today probably, right? Instead, he says, pray about everything. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry. There's a key right there. There's a key to success. Tell God what you need. In other words, verbalize the problem. To who? The solution. God already knows the problem. But sometimes we need to verbalize it. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. How many of you in your day thank God for what he did yesterday? Yeah, that's an important thing. How many of you thank God for what he did 2 days ago? And then he says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. It surpasses our human understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live. Notice that word, as you live in Christ Jesus. So our life should be lived in Christ. Church is not your answer. Church is a wonderful thing. It's great for us to get together. We worshiped him. He inhabits the praises of his people. It's wonderful for us to meet together. You're going to hear a sermon for 30, 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and that's wonderful. You can hear God's word. But church, or let me put it another way, an hour a week is not enough for your victory. Your victory is dependent on living in Christ. Because every day has a potential to hit me in a way that I was not ready for. Amen? And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, and it's like the Apostle Paul was like, oh, this is important. It's like the Holy Spirit quickened him as he's writing this letter, right? He's not copying something. He's being revealed something from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's illuminating something. He says, one final thing, fix your thoughts. There's our answer. Because our thoughts are broken. With anxiety, our thoughts are broken. With anxiety, you're worried about things that haven't even happened. You're worried about things that might never happen. But have you noticed that anxiety paralyzes you from doing the things that God has called you to do? We have a team going to Guatemala. How many of you know that they had to work past their anxiety and their fear? Because, you know, they're going around Latinos. That's dangerous from what I hear. Right? You know how those Latinos are. They're just like white people. Except they can roll their R's. They're just like African Americans. Except they can't jump that high. They're just like them in that we all need Jesus. Are you with me? So you have to fix your thoughts. And then he teaches you how to fix your thoughts. He says, think about what is true. See, before Christ, before the Lord began to heal me from anxiety, I believed the lie of the devil. I believe the lie that I wasn't going to make it, that I was not worth it, that I was that people just use me. And as a pastor, I can still fall into that trap. And it can make me anxious or worry. People really don't care about you. They just use you. You ever had that thought? Think about what is true, he says, what is honorable. What's right? How many of you know that there's a right and a wrong? I know they tell us nowadays popular opinion and this philosophy that people need to wake up from. They tell you that you can call wrong right and you can call right wrong. But there are things that are wrong. They go against God's ordained creation, his plan. He says, think about what's pure, what's lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. All of these have to do with your mind. Every one of these has to do with your mind. Keep putting into practice. Now look at what he says. Now you need to work it. You need to work it. You need to allow this to become your life. So first of all, you begin to fix your thinking, and then you have to walk it out. You got to live it out. Keep putting into practice all that you learn and receive from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When you practice the things of God, God will be with you. Who is in your life? Who's shaping your thinking? If your thoughts are not true, if your thoughts are not pure, you may be hanging out with the wrong people. You may need to bring God closer into your life. So here's some takeaways that I think will help, okay, about filling yourself with what matters. We need to embrace or learn to embrace the fullness of God's joy in every circumstance. If Paul and Silas could sing in the prison in the worst of circumstances, then we can probably sing in some of the circumstances that we're in. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. How many of you pause and just say, Lord, I love you. I don't love what's going on, but I love you. Lord, I worship you. Notice what Paul says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. How many of you know you need to learn that? That doesn't come naturally. You have to learn what that looks like. You have to learn what that feels like. You have to identify how you can be full of the Lord's joy. And then remind yourself, because Paul does. Continually remind yourself. Now, if you look at the context, this is right after he'd written about Euodia and Syntyche, and they weren't getting along, and Paul says, I want you guys to come alongside and help them reconcile. And when people don't get along, it steals our joy. Amen? You ever said something to somebody, or maybe texted something to someone, and they took it wrong? Anyone? Yeah. I do that weekly. And then you feel horrible, and someone gets hurt, and you're trying to fix it, even though you didn't try for it to be taken that way. Why do we try to fix things? Because there's no joy in being upset. So Paul is teaching that you need to learn to deal with circumstances. And when you deal with circumstances, you have to learn how to rejoice, because God is going to be teaching us in those dire circumstances. So I have to believe, I'm going to pick on Leonard and Barbara. They've been on vacation. They've been gone for a little bit, so they're back. I have to believe that, as hard as it is to lose their home, I have to believe that God has a plan. Well, I know he does, because they were put up in Saddlebrook Ranch. I know he's got a plan, because now I got someone to go and play pickleball with. So you know God's moving. No, but in a greater capacity, God is working, because there's something that he's going to teach these two. And every single one of us, we can talk about what we're going through. And here's another thing. How can you learn to rejoice in bad circumstances if you never have bad circumstances? How can you learn to rejoice in a bad relationship if you've never had a bad relationship? How can you relate to other people that are having bad relationships if you've never overcome, through the help of God, something in your life? See, God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste a season. He doesn't waste a hurt. He doesn't waste a rejection. He doesn't waste anything in our life. He doesn't even waste maybe a time that you were an addict. Maybe some of you have come out of alcoholism. You've been free. Some of you come out of addiction. How many of you know that he doesn't waste that time that you were there? That he will use that to leverage his goodness in other people's lives. So that you can have empathy instead of sympathy. Are you with me? The message puts it like this. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him, which is like, get excited about your walk with him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Celebrate God because he's worth it. So you know what would be the saddest thing in the world, in my opinion, is for, you got three amazing praise and worship leaders, singers that sitting right there. You know what would be horrible? If they came up here and they do an amazing job in singing praises to God, amen? They do an amazing job. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. But you know what would be a horrible thing if they came and they celebrated God in song and praise and led us to the throne room, and then they walked away every Sunday and were miserable. Amen? Because if you can praise God in front of 100, 150 people, or, you know, put the online campus, maybe 200, 300 people, if you can praise God in front of them, can't you praise God when you live your life? It'd be horrible if James Reese came in and preached a message to you and I didn't live it. Because that's hypocrisy. Amen? So the Apostle Paul is telling the church, he says, I'm in prison, but I can rejoice. Because the prison is not my dictator. It doesn't dictate my joy. God does. I love the way that C.S. Lewis puts it. He says this, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy and power and peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. What he's saying is that if you want all these, you need to get into Jesus. You need to let Jesus come into you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here's the second takeaway. Learn to practice or learn the practice of worrying less, praying more, and choosing to be thankful in all things. Now, this is important right here. This is important because it's doable. It's doable. But you've got to activate it in your life. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So you're going to replace worry with prayer. That's doable. You have a worrisome thought. You can replace that with prayer, right? And then he says, tell God what you need. So how many of you know that's doable? You can tell God what you need. What do you need? Lord, I need for you to help me overcome this circumstance. Lord, I need for you to help me with this relationship. And how many of you know that sometimes God is saying, okay, you need to get out of that relationship. If you're not married and you're in a relationship that's toxic, guess what you do? What do? You get away. Or you pray for there to be change, amen? And so there's things that you can do that are actually practical. Thank him for all that he's done. So let that become a part of your life where you're thanking God more than complaining. You want to be successful? Quit complaining about everything. Quit complaining about the people in your life. Trust the Lord for those people. I talked about Brother Lawrence before. Brother Lawrence wrote the book, The Practice of God. That book, all he did was, he was a monk who served in a monastery, and all he did was just serve, and he would meditate on the things of God. He would meditate on little practices that he was doing. He would just learn how to practice the presence of God. And he wrote this in that book. He said, we ought not to be weary of doing little things. How many of you get really weary in the petty things that you think are petty? But how many of you know that there's nothing petty in the kingdom? There's nothing petty. Did you know that I sat for 9 years? I sat and supported a lead pastor because I was the associate pastor. I sat there for 9 years and not for two services every Sunday, just about sat there. And some people would think, well, you're just wasting your time. I had people tell me you should be preaching more. But can I tell you something? God did not waste anything. That was not petty. I learned to practice the presence of God. You're not wasting your time right now. The presence of the Lord is here. Learn how to practice that. So he says, we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you view what Brother Lawrence wrote in the light of the words of Jesus, Jesus said to Martha, let's think about it. You are worried and upset over these details, and there's only one thing being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken away from her, right? Now think about it. I didn't get the point for a long time. See, we think that the point was you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. See, that's what I thought for a long, long time until the Lord showed me different. The point was not for Martha to sit at the feet of Jesus because he never told her stop working. What she missed was who was in the room, who was in the house. She could have been working, she could have been doing, I know I don't have much time, I just got to finish this point. She could have been working and doing what she was doing with the understanding of Jesus being in her presence, or better yet, her being in the presence of God. Here's what I've come to find out, and I'm going to close. I have to close because I have to pray. I don't have to pray. I want to pray. Here's what I've come to find out. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I concentrate on the details of ministry, I can always get disgruntled. But if I focus on Jesus, who allows for me to do the things that he's allowed for me to do, there's peace and joy that surpasses all understanding. Are you with me? So maybe some of you in here, Guatemala team, go ahead and come up. Come up to the platform. We're going to pray for you. Give them a big hand as they come up. Are we missing some? One or two? Okay. Ain't this amazing? Yeah. Are you men and women of God, are you guys worried about your trip? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank the Lord for you guys, number one, having the courage to make the trip to Guatemala. Just so that you know, there's Latinos over there and Latinas. But I think you're going to make an amazing difference in their lives. Amen. And so the congregation, we just want to pray a blessing over you. That Brady, go ahead and come in a little bit so you can be seen. We want to pray a blessing over you. And we want you to know that not only are you representing Living Word Chapel, but you're representing Jesus. And so if you'll extend a handout, I'll go ahead and pray over this beautiful team. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. First of all, we thank you for the leadership of Brent and Becky Strand. Lord, that you've called them to this place of using their gift as missionaries to go and make a difference in the world. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us that privilege. And Lord, that you open up those doors. And I just want to pray right now for every team member, Lord, that you will use them in a mighty way. that everything that they do, Lord, is going to be impactful for your glory. And I pray that a lot of those Guatemalans, Lord God, that I know they're going into the schools and they're going to do vacation Bible school and things that are unheard of here in America. They're going to go into public schools, do vacation Bible schools, talk to them about Jesus. I pray that every word that they utter will have the power of the Holy Spirit, and that people, Lord, will feel the presence of God in their midst. And Lord, I pray that we talked about anxiety, we talked about fears. I pray that they will be able to dispel any anxieties and fears that these people may have, Lord God, and that they can go there and be a blessing because of the blesser, Jesus Christ. And just fill them, Lord, guide them, direct them, and I have such godly pride in this team going forth and doing the work that you've called them to do. So we just pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Love you guys. And we believe God's going to do great things. Okay. So the praise team will let me fill in the blanks so that you guys can, those of you that are taking notes, I'm just going to give you the fill in the blanks. I didn't even get half done. Yeah, so the I think I left off where thank God in all things. No, worry less, pray more, and thank God in all things. So this is how you fix your thoughts, okay? Just hold on to that. And then the next one is learn to focus on what matters for God's joy to abound. In other words, quit focusing on things that are not true, right? Quit focusing on things that are not going to, that are not reputable, that are not authentic. Quit being fake. God has not called us to hypocrisy. He called us to be real. And hypocrisy leads to anxiety. Let me tell you why, and then I'm closing with this. Hypocrisy leads to anxiety because you have to try to be something that you're not in front of different people. Be who you are in front of everybody, then you don't have to fake it until you make it. In the kingdom, you don't got to fake it till you make it. Be authentic, be real. Know that he's the perfect one, we're not. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that this word has spoken to hearts, to lives. I pray, Lord God, that we can walk out of here with peace of mind and peace of heart, and that if anyone is struggling with anxiety, Lord, that this is a step in the right direction, and that they will leave worry-free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.